것처럼 기다렸다고 날 사랑한다고 다시 슬픈 이별
Following is a previously broadcast program.
Revolution.
The funk.
Revolution.
The funk.
CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
For your mind and for your hips, this is music and sounds from the mothership. The mothership cassette archives. 25 years of funky revolutions.
Music originated from the confrontation of the struggle. So the roots really is from matter of struggle. That's where it's from. Freedom. That's what it's asking for. Acceptance. What it needs. And understanding.
You know, the funk. It's definitely a music that comes from your heart, and it's a music that's a continuum of the African presence in the urban world, but it comes from your heart and is informed by your mind. And once you create the balance of those energies, you can make somebody get it. You dig?
For your mind and for your hips, these are rhythmic spaces from the mothership. The cassette archive celebrating 25 years of funky revolutions on CKUT. On episode 33, we feature the rhythmic spaces and intuitions of two important drummers we've featured over the years on Funky Revolutions. In part one of today's program, we feature the great percussionist, jazz drummer, and educator, Andrew Cyril, who in the 60s and 70s explored free jazz rhythms alongside Cecil Taylor. Since then, he has traveled the world to explore rhythms, movement of percussive and other kinds of time languages, including his own roots in Haiti. In part two, we follow that 1994 interview with an interview, one of several we did with Kahil El-Zabar over the years. This one from 2002, talks about the language of funk, timekeeping, from this former president of the AACM and leader of the Ethnic Heritage Ensemble.
18 hammers falling in our lives. There ain't no hammer in the ring like mine. Yeah!
Funky Revolutions, for the fattest of the funk and other liberation musics. Saturdays, 2 to 4 p.m., pure funk and the shuffle of people marching in the streets. On CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Everything I do gonna be funky.
Revolution, yo.
We'll be right back.
What will you be listening for in his soloing? How will you recognize yourself with him or in that playing as another great soloist, hearing another one?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me first say this, that I've recorded with Ron Carter many, many years ago with Coleman Hawkins, and it was on an album called Hawk Relaxes, which also featured Kenny Burrell and Ronell Bright, who played piano. And also I worked with Ron many years ago, too, with Eleanor's Jacket. So we were both there in our early 20s. But anyway, to answer your question, number one, it's very interesting because I thought about that upstairs, and I was saying to myself, I wonder how Ron is going to build his solo performance with just the bass fiddle, because usually those instruments, bass fiddles and drums, are usually not considered solo instruments. And then I thought, you know, about myself and the things that I do. So usually what I do is I try to get a program and I try to have it as diversified as possible, with as much rhythmical variation and various structures, you know, that's possible, and to use different parts of the instruments so that people will get a sensation of the various parts that normally are not highlighted or emphasized, mm-hmm. you see. Because, for instance, you know, I can do a solo with just wood that is just using sticks or claves and things like that. Then you can use all metallic parts, you know, as far as an emphasized part of the instrument, you know. And then, of course, you can use the drums themselves. You can just use one part of the drum. So in that way, what I do is I just try to make rhythmical compositions, mm-hmm. you know, that sometimes are based on song forms mm-hmm. and sometimes they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done so many different kinds of solo percussion albums, and sometimes I use newspaper, sometimes I use whistles, mm-hmm. sometimes I use a mallet and a tambourine, sometimes I use a brush and a stick. Sometimes I'll use my voice. Sometimes I'll use my hands. Sometimes I'll only play in my body, the floor, you see. So it would be interesting to see what kind of variation or what Ron will find to support whatever it is that he does with the bass fiddle, where he will find his support mechanisms, you know, for the music, mm-hmm. see how he will do it. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, too, since the bass can also be played melodically. That is, you know, you can play tunes on them, recognizable. So he will probably be able to do that as a horn or a piano to some degree. You can't do that with drums, you see. So you have to find something else to make the music and keep the interest of the audience and yourself. So it'll be interesting to see what Ron does, you know.
Being able to perform the way that you do and the way you've just described, for example, in your solos, but also in your playing, mm-hmm. the huge vocabulary, percussive vocabulary that you suddenly have when you do a solo show, mm-hmm. are you constantly surprised by what you can find there?
Sometimes on good nights, you know, I mean, see, creativity is a funny thing, and some nights there's no interference, and you know, you're just on, and things happen, and you come up with new stuff, and you sometimes you surprise yourself, you see. That doesn't happen all the time. So to answer your question, when it does happen, fine, but usually there's a reserve of information that one taps into in order to bring across a performance.
What kind of limits to the vocabulary, in your experience, have you come up across that might be real limits that are there to create that vocabulary, your rhythmic?
I don't know. The only thing that I would think of that would be limiting to my playing is me. Mm-hmm. Percussion is one of the greatest, most comprehensive vistas for musical sound that one can imagine, because any surface can be used, you know, as a sound, and if it's used in a musical context, then that's what it becomes.
Mm-hmm. I read once an interview where you said time could be defined as the occurrence of change.
Yeah, the duration of that which changes.
That's
what I said.
And how does that time that you've just defined there associate itself with the time people live every day? And what other liberties does that kind of time, defining it in that way and exploring it in a percussive setting, how does that differ from... I'm just wondering, what kind of liberties does the percussive time have, if it has a lot of differences compared to what other people would conceive and understand it philosophically or every day as time?
Well, that's a very good point, and I think the basic word is the philosophical concept, and the philosophical concept is what you think about time, what time means to you, how you define it, and then how you use it, you know, is another thing. So, for instance, as far as everyday time is concerned, we all do things through the day. Now, for instance, a way of thinking about time is as I'm speaking to you now. So we don't have any kind of, an artificial construct whereby I say, okay, now I'm going to speak to you, like, let's say in 4-4 times, so which means I'll count off 1, 2, 3, 4, then I'll start talking to you in 4-4 times, so that everything is on the beat. Of course, I could syncopate, but I am still talking in 4-4 time, and you can count 1, 2, 3, 4 as I'm talking. So that kind of constraint is often how music in the West is made. You see, so you can have 4-4, 3-4, 6-4, 2-2, 3-2, however you want to do it. And of course, there's a lot of great stuff that can come out of those definitions or either rules, you see. But there are other ways, of course, of thinking about time, where you don't have to think about time being divided, but you can think of it being fluid, like water. And you have the ebbs and the flows as in normal conversation, which makes it easier sometimes for us to talk without having to think about talking in a key of F or F sharp or E or E flat or whatever. You see, we just talk and we communicate to each other. And many cultures in the world, I mean, that's the way they make the music. It's incidental harmony. And yes, they may have rhythms, but a lot of times I think many people assign rhythm rather than divide it. You see, and when I mean divide it, I mean it's like when you have a number system that says you have 4 quarter notes to the bar, and a quarter note gets 1 beat, which means 4-4 time.
So if you're leaning towards more of the sense of flowing, becoming, rather than static moments sewn together rigidly...
Well, it's not leaning so much. It's what presents itself and what I want to do, you see, with whichever technique I want to use. So it's a matter of thinking about what you want to do first.
thinking about time in that way, then your notions of who you are, identity, education, and how you understand musicianship, mastership, apprenticeship, all of those things, perhaps one relates to those things differently, and understanding that time is this process of becoming, so our identity is never static already to begin with.
Right.
And there, I would ask, first of all, do you find then something about yourself when you're playing that comes out of that changing that's happening? And the other is, how do you approach teaching someone if in your moments, whether it's, you know, strictly pedagogical, or you find yourself in a situation of exchange, how does that notion of time affect the way you educate people?
Well, that's a good question too. I teach, you know, at a school, a college in New York, a New School for Social Research, jazz program, and I also teach privately. So sometimes, let's start with the private students. Sometimes with the private students, somebody comes in, they don't have any technique at all. So you have to give them a vocabulary. You have to show them the basics. And sometimes with the basics, that, you know, you have to start somewhere. So I'll usually teach within the conscripts of normal Western pedagogy. You see, you learn the rudiments as far as drums are concerned, and rudiments are nothing but sticking patterns. But, you know, they were codified by the National Association of Rudimentary Drummers back in the 30s. See, so there are like 26 of them. So usually you teach beginners, you know, the rudiments. You teach them how to read the music, you know, interpret them, and interpret the rudiments when they see it. In method books, you see sticking control patterns, etc. You know, how to get your hands strong, and it's a, you know, matter of repetition. So once you get some vocabulary down, then you begin to teach them how to make sentences with the vocabulary, with the sound pieces, and they build sentences, and eventually you get them to build phrases, and then they can begin making paragraphs, you know, with the sentences, phrases, etc. So then what you do is, if you have a certain kind of music that you want them to play, then you show them how what they have learned, how you translate that into a certain feeling, and you think about the sound in a certain way so that it can affect a certain feeling. Like, for instance, if I want to teach them, you know, like Latin music, how to play drums for Latin compositions. You know, you can teach them mambas, you can teach them cha-chas, you can teach them sambas, those kinds of things. If you want to teach them jazz, or you teach them how to swing or something like that, you have certain African rhythms that you can teach them. See, so these are all the concepts of music, and in this particular case, as far as drums are concerned. So then, once they're able to do that, you know, they're able to do the things, let's say, in a way that's been constructed and defined, let's say, again, four beats to the bar, four time, quarter note gets one beat each. Then sometimes, and I'll say, okay, well then, forget that, and then with what you know, just express yourself. Let it be free association, and make some music for me, and let me see what comes out of your musical, psychological profile. And that's how I do it when I have bands and I want them to play certain passages in a free way.
Spiritual or emotional, intellectual, psychological dimension, which is all probably the hardest thing to teach.
Yes, it is.
Because there you don't want to dictate at the same time. How do you approach teaching that? And how do you, if it can actually be taught, I mean...
Yeah, well, that is the most difficult thing to do. Technique, of course, is something that you need. Concept is the other thing. But the spiritual aspect of it has to come from within. And I guess it's a thing that one thinks about as far as his or her culture is concerned, which means everything, you know, that you inherit from your forebears, the sum total of the living experiences passed down from one generation to another. That's how I define culture. You see, and all of those things bring in what I would consider to be your spirituality, the person and the being that you are. So all that translates to, as far as music is concerned, is the kind of poet that you become with the information that you've already learned, your technique, and whatever concept that you're presenting. See, so then all of that is the process of becoming. You see, and then what you represent on the stage and how you communicate to the people whom are listening to you is what makes the spirituality strong or not strong.
Now, when you say, for example, the necessity to look and reflect about one's culture,
yeah,
for someone who enters into jazz music, no matter what their background, they're taking on inheriting certain elements of African-American culture.
Yeah. Well, you see, I think that depends on the individual. I feel that as much education as you can get makes you a better person, and it really teaches you how to think on many levels. Now, art is a funny thing. In this sense, different from science, whereby, you know, in science, everybody can look at the same thing and you will get the exact answer. There's no variation. But when you look at a work of art or you listen to some music, people can bring their own personal experiences and then they can interpret that according to their own lives, what this means to them. The musician himself, learning about the inheritances, as you said, you know, the debts, you know, and of course the rewards, you know, that jazz has passed on, and that is historical, depends on the individual. And I'll say it in this way. People, and there are various kinds of jazz music that different people like. Some people like free music. If you want to just gear yourself to play in that particular category, then you could do that. Or you can become comprehensive. You can learn all of it. So that when you play, if somebody is sitting in an audience listening, they can say, oh, that makes me feel this way, or it makes me feel that way, or it reminds me of this, or it reminds me of that. Or they might say, what the hell is that?
We continue on the Mothership Cassette Archives with our interview with Andrew Cyril. The first three musical moments include Arwan Ortiz and his trio, made up of Andrew Cyril and Mauricio Herrera, Inside Rhythmic Falls. This Cuban exploration features the solo on Sacred Codes from Andrew Cyril. After his discussion on time and percussive languages, we heard Andrew Cyril and Haitian Fascination, the album Route de Frères, the song Maïs for percussive duo. And this last track, Andrew Cyril live in Florence in 1979 with classical retention. We continue our interview discussing African percussions and dancers.
In the fight against COVID-19, we must all continue to respect public health guidelines and follow self-isolation instructions. Self-isolate if you have symptoms. Self-isolate after testing. Self-isolate if the test is positive. Self-isolate when you return from a trip. And self-isolate when you've been in contact with someone who's tested positive. Self-isolation is important. Please, take it seriously. Learn more at quebec.ca/self-isolating. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Recorded with people who have been come from all over, and you've obviously studied and played various forms of music, and especially the way those different cultures or those different musical forms affect you, your relationship to music within jazz. What are you listening today, rhythmically and percussively? Some that maybe new popular forms of music or from around the world that is suddenly catching your ear and you're going.
What am I listening to?
Yeah.
I could listen to and find creation all the time. African rhythms and Indian rhythms also. Mm-hmm. You know, drums from India.
What are the major differences between Indian and African percussion for you? What would you do to make the two meet in a dialogue?
Which has happened, on occasion with me. I've played with Indian drummers and I've played with, African drummers also. Number one, as far as Indian drums are concerned, they're very, very tonal. And, they deal with, a certain kind of rhythmical pattern that's based on a certain, as I say, raga, scale, you see, with beats, etc. And those things are repeated and they're improvised on to some degree. African drums are tonal too in certain places, not in all places. African drumming usually has a certain kind of choir relationship to it, which is in a sense where the trap set comes from, as far as two and three, four people doing different things at one time, whereby you would get this overall unity, of rhythm. So as far as I see it, that's the difference. I haven't heard too many choirs of Indian drummers playing together. They usually play, with the sitar, the other instrument that is used when they perform. So you will have usually about three or four people, but they play not only percussion, but they play the stringed instruments. And then, of course, the tabla player is playing an accompaniment to that. But with the African presentation, you might have, a number of drummers singing with vocals, or sometimes maybe with a stringed instrument. And sometimes even some instruments that are blown as well. And in different parts of Africa, you have different kinds of rhythms based on the environment, or different kinds of instruments which produce different kinds of rhythms based on the environment. Like, in the rainforest countries, where you have a lot of forest and you have trees, so you get different kinds of drums. Mm-hmm. Where you go a little further north, let's say, and you go into the savanna countries where you don't have large trees, you get calabashes. So you would get drums made out of those kinds of instruments, which produce different kinds of music, you see. But as far as I know, in India, the only thing that I have heard have been the tabla, even though you will get different music from North India and South India. you see, as far as tabla playing is concerned. You know, a different weight as far as how the instrument is played itself, depending on the musician who's playing it.
Environment is so important, and in some of the environments you found in yourself, you've worked with poetry, you've worked with dance.
Mm-hmm.
How does those other things, for example, in the early 60s, late 60s, working with dancers, how did those kinds of things affect you? How do you integrate those? Are they there for representation? You try to represent a dancer, or do they teach you something about spacing and movement that changes the way you've learned to create music over time?
Very much so, yeah, about spacing, dynamics. You think about shape. You see, sometimes, you know, one can be playing and one can imagine in one's mind a dancer moving to the rhythm that you play.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I take from, you know, from all of it. And dancing gave me, or that is playing for dancers, gave me the strength and the ability to play for long periods of time, which then allowed me to become a good soloist as far as playing solo drums are concerned. Because I'd have to play a class sometimes for 45 minutes to an hour, and there would be so many different parts of the class. You see, you would have to play for the exercises, and there would be a number of different exercises at which you would have to play different rhythms. And then after that, for about, let's say, 30 minutes or so, then you would have a combination, you know, for another 20 or 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And at the combination would then be when I would create a rhythm
mm-hmm.
for the dancers to build a choreography
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, you know, I was able to learn how to make music just from the drum set
mm-hmm.
so that these people felt that would allow them to move their bodies easily.
Mm-hmm.
Tandis que nous poursuivons la lutte contre la propagation de la COVID-19, de nouveaux programmes de soutien sont en place pour les personnes qui en ont besoin, notamment un régime d'assurance-emploi plus fort et plus accessible, ainsi que 3 nouvelles prestations de relance économique. Continuer à soutenir les Canadiens maintenant nous aidera à assurer notre sécurité et à rendre le Canada plus résilient. Consultez canada.ca/le-coronavirus pour en savoir plus sur les nouveaux programmes de soutien aux revenus. Un message du gouvernement du Canada.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
The Mothership Cassette Archives, celebrating 25 years of Funky Revolutions. Continuing on the theme opened up in the first part of episode 33 with our 1994 interview with percussionist drummer Andrew Cyril, we continue with a guest who was no stranger to Funky Revolutions. This is one of our first interviews with him in February of 2002. Cahil El-Zabar, leader of the Ethnic Heritage Ensemble, speaks about the funk on Funky Revolutions. We feature music today from Ethnic Heritage Ensemble's Be Known Ancient Future Music, an off-recorded track, Freedom Jazz Dance, two selections from Cahil El-Zabar's America the Beautiful, Express Yourself and Sketches of an Afro Blue, and end this series with Freedom Jazz Dance, featuring the track Mama's House.
Look at that, hammers! Come on! Sweeter than a mosquito on a match.
Hello, Cahil.
Hey.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty damn good. I have to say that as a researcher, I was highly impressed by the work that you do. And I think a lot of Montrealers got a chance to read a very interesting interview you did with a Montreal-based writer called Scott C. in our weekly called The Mirror. Anyways, your band is 25 years old, more or less.
Yeah.
They, it,